God bless you, everyone. This is Minister
Love Dick. Talk Radio.
The host of Dirty Church Radio. Just want to wish everyone a happy new year.
From the day I was
everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, I'm so glad every one of you tuned in. We thank God for the support. We thank God, you know, for giving us an opportunity to start having the show. We started October 3rd, and we've been going strong ever since. If you go back onto our on-demand episodes, it's been a lot of great shows, a lot of great people that we've met having this show. Some great topics talking about that really, you know, people called in and actually, you know, expressed their real heartfelt situations, true stories that took place in their life. And I just want to say, you know, we thank you for sharing with us on the air and giving Dirty Church Radio, you know, an opportunity to hear from your heart. And like again, myself, Minister Jay Miller, our brother DA, and our apostle Louis Jean, we just want to thank everyone that has been supporting and following Dirty Church Radio. And again, Happy New Year's to all. And right now, we're going to welcome our brother D.A. on the show with us. What's going on, D.A.?
How's it going?
Good, man. What's good with you, brother?
I'm just walking into the world of PlayStation. And
Yeah, the PlayStation world is serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good toy. Can you? I was just thinking, man. Can you imagine when we was young, like when we was to have a game like the PlayStation now, like with graphics and things that you could do
oh,
on
yeah.
it then yeah. as a kid.
Yeah,
but you know what? I do thank God though. When I was a kid, our biggest playground was going outside though. It was the fact that you know we would go outside and play football. You know, if karate came on Saturdays, we watch karate and then we go outside and kick each other and try to practice the moves and wrestling. We do outside.
12 o'clock Shaw Brothers. You don't know anything about that.
Come on, man. Listen, I got the whole Shaw collection here at the crib. Like, what are you talking about, man?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Guillotines, the kid with the golden arms. Come on, man.
I got, yo, see, you need to step your game up. I got all of that. Loaded on my PS3. Step your game up. You just was born.
Oh, okay.
you just was born into the PS3 world. You know what I mean? You still on that Similac, man. You know what I mean? I'm eating baked flounder, and you know what I mean, and grilled salmon. You know what I mean?
So that's how we starting the night off tonight.
Listen. That's how you came, man. You know, I want to talk with a brother. You know, I know everyone out there see it. They got Minister J. Miller. You know what I mean? Verse D.A., the main event. That's how we coming tonight. It's all good, though. You know what I mean? For real. See, but I'm one of the ones, like, I'm the type of cat, like, I hit you with the belt, with the championship belt up top the head. Yeah.
I'm the type of person that always have, like, that always have that chair underneath the ring.
Underneath the ring? Yeah. Well, listen, man, you know, 2012, we was going to have a show. You know, it just seemed like once Christmas, December came, man, things became real busy. There was a lot going on,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we took a little break here on Dirty Church Radio, you know, I guess to reflect, because we have done a lot of shows. If you look at the list of shows that we've done so far,
and yeah,
the time that we started, we have done a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking, man. People are still checking out the on-demand episodes, man. Just one episode alone, man, I seen it was like over almost 2,000 people watched this one episode.
Wow. An archive episode?
Archive. Like, I think it's the one, hold on, let me look one. I want to be real sure to know which one it was so you can see it. About to tell you right now. It was Is It True Because I Believe or Do I Believe Because It's True?
Wow, people were still listening. Wow.
Yeah. 1,995 people listened to the archive on that episode.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And you know something? The thing that's something, right? You know, we started October 3rd, 2012. And we started spontaneously, like out of nowhere, just
mm-hmm.
from the thought, wow, you know, we just made it happen. And, you know, it was some good stuff, man, you know, like really. Peace to our brother Matu, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Our brother Senefa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apostle Louis Young, you know what I mean? Congratulations to my brother, you know what I mean? Apostle Louis Young on his engagement, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just heard about that, man.
Yeah, man, really proud of that, man. You know what I mean? That's great. That's a great thing, man. You know what I'm saying? We had a Mr. Solutions call in.
The Sword.
Oh, yeah, Sword. My brother Sword. Done called. I mean, just so many different ones, man. Mr. Ex-Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just different ones, man. What was the dude's name? I think he was in, he was in Canada? What was
the guy in
the wilderness?
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now, but I know you're talking about.
And he said that God told him that he had to unlearn what he
mm-hmm.
learned throughout
yeah.
life. It's almost like
yeah.
he become a newborn baby all over again and redo everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was some stuff, man. So let me ask you this question, DA. You know what I mean? What
mm-hmm.
type of? How would you describe your 2012?
Like, to me, honestly, like every other year, I don't look at specific years as being, you know.
I knew that was going to be your response.
Yeah, that's
You know what that response may sound like to me?
What?
It's like when someone just got chalk on a board, and they scraping they like a metal thing across the chalkboard. That's what that response.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being totally honest with you.
It's just like any other year. Like,
well, it is, because every year that I experience is always a good year. You know what I'm saying? It's basically, you know what I'm saying, the things, the year that I make it, the situation, the moments, you know what I'm saying, that I make it. It's not, years aren't something that are moments for me. It's, you know, literally moments that make.
Well, what I'm saying is, it is moments that I'm talking about, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to give you. If that was the question, I would just be like, "Man, how's your life?" That's describe every moment, but I wanted to be specific. Everything happens. You get 2011, your 2010, but listen, in 2000. In 1999, you didn't know how to play the keyboard.
Yeah, you're right. But
so the year that you learned how to play the keyboard and you learned, like, something greater started happening. Like, you know what I mean? You probably felt better. You accomplished a goal. You know what I mean? So it does change. Every year really ain't the same. So
I don't necessarily look at years. I more so look at days and moments.
All right,
you know,
well,
what I'm
man,
saying?
How was your day? Give me a day in 2012, then. If you want to be so, you know, I don't look at years. I look at days.
I was keeping 100. You know, my days, like everybody know, my days are always good. I always look at every single day as an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? And
you know what,
whatever.
Man?
What's up?
I want you to learn how to play Madden. I really want you to get your game up on Madden so I could beat you real bad. So I could beat you real bad just to see when you catch this L, are you going to be like, yeah, man, that L felt good?
Yeah, you know, like with games, I'm not competitive. I'm gonna tell you why I'm not competitive, because you know what I'm saying, my cousin. Oh, as a matter of fact, he was one of them, Mr. New York. He was one of the guests on the show a couple of times. Growing up with him, he kind of humbled me when it came to games. Like, I couldn't get mad because I always lost. Like, I didn't care to beat anybody I knew I was going to win with. It was always the person that I knew that I couldn't beat, and he was one of the people that I just couldn't beat in games. And I just got used to losing games, you know what I'm saying?
Like, well, yeah, man, I'm calling him out too, yo. He can catch it on Madden too, man. You know what I mean? He can catch it. Where he at?
I don't know. Maybe sleep. Right.
Oh, yeah, okay. He don't play Madden no more, though, right? He retired?
Yeah, he actually did retire. Yeah, he actually sold his PS3, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not a gamer anymore, but, yeah, he was that dude. He was that
I'm
dude to play.
I'm going to wake the game up in him, though. I'm going to wake it up.
All right, so, you know, I have a question for you. What name some, since you're on this big year, and I said, you know.
No, I'm not on a big year. I just asked you a question.
No. I'm saying since you're one of those people, you know, who focus
on
one
of them
years. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. But anyway.
You judge me now. Stop judging me.
My question to you is, tell me a topic in 2012 that blew your mind, that made you be like, oh, my gosh, like, just something that made you react in 2012.
You know what? Are you talking about concerning or the radio show, or just in the world in general?
The radio show, the world, you know, hot topics, debates that people had, just anything that, you know, that made you be like.
Well, I'm gonna tell you one of the craziest things in 2012 was you're going to jail now, like when my man uppercutted the girl on the bus.
Oh yeah,
the school bus. And that was just something that was crazy to me, and I'm not with, you know, a dude doing that. But you know what was funny? A lot of people probably thought he was saying that she going to jail. But when I heard it, it sounded to me like he was talking to himself. Like after she did what she did,
he knew
like
what he was gonna do.
It was like, you're going to jail now. You're going to jail now. Like, you understand?
Yeah,
what
he was. He was talking in third person.
Yeah, he was off his third person, and that's what made it kind of like you know, kind of crazy, man. I was like, wow. And that another thing was, some people in 2012 would say that the Sandy storm was the worst thing at news, but to me, I think the worst news, like, that just came out of nowhere, happened at the end of the year. That's with the school in Connecticut.
Okay.
Kids. Like bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, on that end. Some of the other things, man, like this year, a highlight of my year was me getting back in touch with my brother, who I hadn't seen since my sister had died when I was like 16, 17, and he was like about 12 or 11, a brother from my father, and I hadn't seen him. And on Facebook, I was looking for him, and all of a sudden, I see like a grown man with his features. And the only remembrance I had of my little, and I like hit him up and sent him a message, man. And it happened to be my brother, man.
That's something.
I mean, I found him like in November, November, man. My little brother Brian Williams, man. Hopefully I get a chance to actually see him. He lives in Baltimore, man.
Okay.
So 2012. That was something that I always, like, I was really looking for him. I really wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. And when you go on Facebook and you type in Brian Williams, that name, yo, it's thousands and thousands of Brian Williams. Like,
right.
It's a lot of people with that name. And, like, many faces. And I done been through nights, like, looking through many faces with that name.
Wow.
So, like, when I eventually found him, it was really, that was a great feeling to actually be successful in the search.
Wow.
So I think that was a real great moment for me in 2012.
Okay.
Very, you know what I mean? And then another highlight was my daughter being born, you know, my second daughter being born June 11th, you know what I mean? And just actually seeing that whole thing, it was very...
an experience.
yes. Because I think the first time, like my first daughter, I think I was more so in shock and like
that,
in a
that you made something.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that this was actually taking place.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, I was in shock, but I was more in my right mind. Like, I was more observant and being able to actually know that this is reality and it's really happening.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
time, it felt like I was in a dream world. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It felt, you know, like in a dream world, man. But it was a great experience within those years. You know
okay.
what I mean? Time.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Let me ask you this, man. Musically, you know, we don't really talk about what we do a lot here on the show. Let me ask you this question. Musically, how do you feel like you've advanced?
I became better as a producer, songwriter. I've worked with some more names. I had some more exposure, had a little bit more, you know, a little bit more experience. I've just grown as a producer a whole lot. Yeah, it was cool. It was really, really cool.
Let me ask you this: are you approaching? I know you don't do years, but I'm going to ask you this question: would you say that your same is will your energy be the same this year as it was last year, or will it be? You think it will be a little more?
Well, I think my experience allowed me to. My experiences in, you know, in this whole music business allowed me to learn how to have more of a drive, because people can have drive, and you know their drive really is just getting them in circles. But I say to amuse you, this year I would say that my drive.
No, not
more
to
productive.
Mute me. I want the real, the truth. Don't not.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah. It's. I think my drive is going to be a whole lot more productive.
Productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got you.
More
productive.
But one of the things that not about music, but one of the in 2012 that really got my attention. I didn't really do too much research on it. I didn't look it up that much. But what shocked me, what had me going, was the QJB that had me going.
Oh, you're talking about the King James Bible?
I was shocked at that one, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And me personally, I'm not with that.
Why not?
I think that, in my view, I think that's crazy.
Why do you think that's crazy, and the actual King James Bible or the Amplified version or the NIV isn't crazy?
This is what's crazy to me. It's not even about King James. It's not even about the Queen James. It's mainly about I need to change the Bible. I need to change the scriptures so it can fit and justify what I do that goes against nature.
But that's what the NIV does too.
Yeah, well listen, put it this way.
Mm.
It's a lot of translations that does this. But this Bible is targeting I am purposely removing homosexually out. That is like not saying like they're changing it, like changing it where it's not going to speak against homosexuality or man laying with man, and stuff as wrong, or woman with woman as wrong. That's what they're not going to portray that angle.
And you don't think that they have the right to do that?
No, I don't think that's right at all.
No. Whether or not you think it's right, you have the right to say.
No, it's not. I don't think it's right. I believe
that. No. But don't they have the right to do that? Don't anybody have the right to publish anything they choose to?
Not the right to go jump in front of a train.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make that choice to do it.
Yeah.
But it's a consequence behind it. And I believe in this world, I believe stuff like this is just, I believe every day the world is pushing God more, the perception of God or a God concept more and more out of the way, where it'd be a world without.
When you're talking about a world, what are you referring to? You talking about America? You talking about the world in general?
Put it this way. Right now, let's just stay here and let's just deal here in America. Let's talk here. Let's not even. I'm just saying world because America is part of the world. But I'm just saying. I'm just going to speak right here.
You mean America?
Let's just say America. I believe America is pushing God out of the way slowly and slowly every day. Like every day it is happening. I believe I just believe that it's going to make, I believe it's making this world, it's going to make this world get worse.
But that's proven to be wrong. Because
you know what? We're having an open discussion, and tonight, right? Like, I'm speaking, like, and I'm not trying to, like, we're having this conversation tonight on here, and we're talking. It's Minister J and DA.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, on issues that we talk or you mention, like tonight, we're speaking from how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like personally, like, so like I'm tonight, if we're on here and we only got it, you know, we ain't got that long, but we're not talking from anyone else's perception. We're going to talk from our perception of what we feel, whether we agree or we don't.
Okay. Well, coming from my perception, it's shown that the statement that you were referring to doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Taking God out of a particular culture or world, that culture or world becomes worse because there are a lot of cultures and there are a lot of worlds and countries and more generally that don't necessarily have God in it, and they actually do better than America that has God in it. So,
okay.
Give me the names
and give me some scenarios, some situations.
China. China is one of the countries.
I mean, you said, now when you say do better, and how do they do better? Are you talking about far as an education? Or
listen,
in the way that, because there's certain things that you can do over there.
Yes, and I'll tell you what it is, they have less rape, less crime. They have less
the consequences. Because of the consequences.
No.
So if you want to
having
talk about
a God
that,
in it. Or not having a God in it.
No, but I'm not
talking about consequences.
So, and you're one. Hold up. You're one who don't really. You're not with cruel consequences.
Who says that? I never said I'm not with cruel consequences.
You do say that because you don't feel as though that man should be punished for his.
I never said I don't feel as though man should be punished.
How you never said that?
Because I've never said it. never in my life said man should not be punished.
Well, you know people who feel as though if man does something wrong and God says he's going to burn him with hell fire, that God is so bad for doing that.
Well, when you are referring to God and then you're referring to man, it's totally different.
But so when man does it, so just because it's God, it makes it wrong to you.
No,
if God has a consequence when you break his law, but if I steal or if somebody rapes a woman over in China and they castrate them and cut their thing off, that's okay.
No, I never said any one of those things.
What I'm saying, you're saying that it's better. You're saying that it's
no, I'm not. I'm not
better,
saying that. I'm not
better,
saying that it's better.
And they are doing better without God, right?
Yes, they are doing better without God. Yes, they are.
How are they doing better without God?
And I'm telling you, because for a country who is religion-based or religious-based, we have a lot more crimes. We have a lot more premarital babies. We have a lot more divorce. We have a lot more hate crimes. We have so many things that happens here where God – where we say as Americans this is a religious based country opposed to another country that doesn't have God and say that because they don't have God they're doing bad. That's not the case, because statistically shows that that's not the case when we're talking about God alone. I'm not talking about anything else. We're talking about God.
But could it be the fact that they look at themselves as God. They look at themselves or the decisions or their law as God.
No,
they look at it like that. So that's the result they get because they hold to that law.
No, because they're not referring to themselves as God.
If you choose to take life, or when you choose to cut hands off and arms off, and you make that choice based upon what somebody done, isn't that putting you in a superior form of God? Because you're making the choice. How isn't it?
Because first of all, I don't know where you're referring to. China aren't savage people. They don't cut hands off and arms off if people steal. That may be in some other parts of the country where they do that at.
This way, since you're so familiar with China, what are the consequences?
I'm not necessarily familiar.
So, I mean, they're saying that, so you're saying that they don't do that, so you know that they don't do that. What do they do?
Well, from what I know, If you break the law, your penalty is according to what the law says. Usually jail time. That's what usually the laws requires. And if you break a law that requires death, then that's what comes to you. But I don't necessarily know the laws of the Chinese government.
I'll cut you off, man. Guess who on the air with us right now, man?
Who?
Our brother Matu. All the way from
see. I just
What's
wanted to
know
if it
on,
was
man?
I wanted to call in and place a bet. I'm a bet man. I heard this was a main event. Is it too late to place a bet? I know it ain't for 20 more minutes now.
So who you putting your money on?
I ain't gonna say.
I don't know if you heard me, man. I was thanking you, man, for those books, man, that you sent, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's one thing I was calling for, to make sure you got that package.
Oh, yeah, man. I really appreciate that, man. I really do. I really do, man.
That's what's really up. But I'll listen, man. I know y'all ain't got for 20 minutes. So I like
No. You call, we ain't heard from you in a minute, man.
Yeah.
We kind of took a little break in the month of December with the show. But we back now, man. You know what I mean? We back now. Matter of fact, while you on the air, let me ask you this question, Matu.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, give me a highlight, best moment, and a highlight, worst moment.
For myself personally?
Yourself personally, that affected you.
Let's see. Man, that's a deep one, man. I don't know, man. I'd have to say, man, things have been going pretty well for me. So, you know what I'm saying? I can't really pick one particular thing to say. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I would answer that one. Things out. I've been blessed, man. So,
okay.
It's been going pretty well for me and my family.
All right. Let's see this. Not that actually happened to you, but what you've seen living in this world that may have affected others.
Well, I mean, y'all know I'm a Pan-Africanist, so, you know, it's a struggle, man, because I really don't see a lot of positive that has, you know, transpired for African people. So, I don't know, man, that's kind of hard, man. I haven't really seen any steps towards...
No, whether it's bad or good.
Oh, okay, well...
Yeah, I said worse, like the worst moment or bad, like either way.
Well, I think the worst thing probably for blacks, particularly in America, was the re-election of Barack Obama. I know that's going to raise some eyebrows. But I think he just sets the consciousness back of black folk about what we need to do for self with him being re-elected. As if for blacks, the country is moving in a positive direction by the re-election of him, and I think it's going to put us back to sleep. So I think that was a terrible thing for the black liberation movement. It was terrible.
You're saying that it was terrible because he was re-elected because of how black people view it?
Yeah, I think, yes. I think that they will see that as a move in the right direction for blacks, meaning, okay, he was reelected. The people saw fit to reelect him. We doing something right. And in the meantime, the condition of blacks is going downhill.
Gotcha.
And so I think overall it's going to prove to be, it's almost like a sleeping pill, right? The re-election of him was like a sleeping pill to the black community.
Okay. So if his opponent would have won, do you feel as though that would have been better for us?
It absolutely not. It wouldn't have been better, I think, what the election of the opponent would have done, it's almost like if you know there's a robber in the neighborhood, at least you'll, you know, dust off your pistol, right? So the election of Romney would have put us on edge and more alert to what we need to be doing as a people, because we would have, I mean, he was clear on who he was. So we would have, you know what I'm saying, it would have caused us to unify more. It would have caused us to start strategizing more about doing for self because of what we thought would have been coming down the pike with him, right? So we'd have got more sharper as a group with him being elected.
Let me ask you this. With him being elected, do you think it would have made people time out.
People do what?
Time out. Like, get off the, like, Uncle Tom.
With Obama?
I mean, like you said, what I'm saying is, do you think, let me put it this way.
Do you think Obama being president would make people
Uncle Tom out, or it would have made more people Uncle Tom out with the opponent?
There would have been more, the stock of Uncle Tom would have went up more with Romney. Because you'd have, it's almost like that crab in the barrel syndrome. Man,
yeah.
We'd have been scratching and pawing at trying to get at the master's table for the first chicken wing.
Yeah, and see, and that right there is what I didn't want to see. Like, I mean, the Uncle Tom thing to me, that really aggravates me. Like, I'm going to tell you, I went to go see Django.
Man. Me and my wife did, too. Did you go with your wife?
Yeah, me and my wife went, yo.
Man.
Yo, and the thing that was crazy, when we went in there, the movie was, I mean, a complete mixed crowd.
Hmm.
It was like older whites, younger whites, older blacks, younger blacks, Hispanics. It was like really different people in there. But when Samuel Jackson,
don't mess the movie up for people who haven't watched it, because I haven't
man.
Seen it.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you what I did, what I told my wife, man. But I want to hear what you know. Go ahead.
No, for real, Samuel Jackson, like that role he played.
Man.
Like, to me, like, that's the worst role that's the worst role of a black man, especially if a black man is doing that in reality. Like, that's.
Is he sick, boss? That's what you said?
Yeah. Like,
hey,
you know what I mean?
Jay,
like,
that's real,
when you
man.
Looked
that's
at his
real.
Ride on the horse, it was mad that he was, like, on a horse. You know what I mean? With that mindset, you know what I mean? Like right now, if Matsu got a business and you doing and you provide for your family, you doing something, and another black man is looking at you.
He shouldn't
like,
be doing that.
You shouldn't be doing that. It should be, you know, someone of a different race. And
yeah.
They're good with seeing you stay in poverty. They're good with seeing you stay, you know what I mean, in the
wow.
field.
Hey, well, let me ask you this, Jay. Hey, did you see a DA?
No, I haven't seen it yet, no.
Let me ask you this, man. What did you personally think about it, and then what did your wife think about it?
Yo, first of all, I ain't going front. I was laughing in the movie. It was some funny parts that had me in there cracking up. But the reality of it, when Samuel Jackson, his part, like, it made us both be on some, like, it was, like, aggravating. It made you want to jump through the team, like, the screen. You know what I mean? And, like, grab him around his neck and begin to just squeeze.
All right,
Jay,
hold, Jay, I have a question for you. Let's say, hypothetically, you put yourself back in the early 1900s.
My feet cut off. They cut
you
my feet.
You really believe that
no,
you would
they,
not
they cut in my
pay
feet.
Attention to massa?
they cut in my feet. They cut in my feet. They go
you
ahead,
can't
they,
say
they,
that, Jake.
They,
you don't
they,
know,
they,
man.
They,
you can't say that, man. You might be a little scared.
Let me tell y'all something. Right now, you know, listen, I'm 38. All right, I'm a young man. All right, and me coming up, I can't even say that I've seen extreme racism the way Brother Matsu has, or my dad has, and my dad's dad. But I do know this, that let's just say right now they said, we're going back to those times right now. And I know some will say we are in those times, but it's just in a different form, which may be true. But I'm talking about to the point where we can't drink from water fountains, you coming in, raping my wife in front of me while I watch, and all those type of things. I'm willing to die for that cause, man.
Well, see, I think you're willing to die for that cause right now because you already, you're out of it. So for you to see yourself, for you to see yourself being put in that position, it's very easy for you to be like,
DA, I wouldn't be no Tom, DA.
No, I'm not saying, DA,
my name wouldn't be Tom, man. Word up.
So I feel you on that. I definitely feel you on that.
For real. My name wouldn't be Tom. And, like,
but
I'm telling you, if there was a leader and there was, like, another black, like, an older person, like, that was saying, yo, it's something we have to do, like, trying to start a revolution and an uprising against that, I would have been a part of that. Like, I would have been part of that, especially when I'm seeing my sisters get, come on, man, like, seeing that, after you, for real, man. I was the one who started the revolution, but if someone had the heart and they were speaking like that, I would be down with that.
Yeah, hopefully, man, on everything, I definitely would want to see myself in that situation.
Yeah, I would hope you wouldn't
nah,
be like,
nah,
your boss.
Nah, nah,
man, nah. Just went up the street, bro. Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
It ain't going down like that.
You the one holding the whip, whipping me? For
nah,
him?
I can't. Definitely ain't going down like that.
Well,
no,
I wasn't going
to
go
out there in Radio Land. We just talking about real stuff that really happened, real stuff that is part of history. We might can laugh about some things, but the reality is that stuff really happened.
Yeah.
Really happened. And right now, things are happening that I know in Africa and all different parts of the country, man, that we only get a glimpse of stuff when they go on the news and show us stuff, man. We ain't even getting the real of what's really going on, man, in these countries that's really taking place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's serious. And I know, Brother Matsu, I know you know, and I know you've heard, like, it's some real bad stuff going on in places, man, that's not getting the attention, with the media attention.
I have a question for Brother Matsu. People always talk about how, well, not people, but your custom and your pan-African, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Pan-African.
Okay. It's all about getting us back to our roots. Have you ever considered or have you ever thought that black people today don't see their roots as being in Africa? They more so see their roots as being in America. We don't look at ourselves as black Africans. We look at ourselves as black Americans, and we don't necessarily really want to attach ourselves to Africa per se. Do you think that's the problem?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, of course, that's a problem. But, you know, Pan-Africanism is like a political ideology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, black American. Those are just political terms. So the thing you have to look at is this. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but when you're living in a culture, it's about what the culture see you as and your position in that culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you can talk positive. Hey, I'm my own man. I mean, I'm feeling that. You know, I understand all of that. But when the rubber meet the road and when it's time to divvy up the resources, or when it's time to exact some justice, you are what the culture says you are, and nothing more than that. So I think Pan-African, having a Pan-African ideology just allows you to see it that way, and there is no compromise. So there is no ambiguity. I'm clear on it,
mm-hmm.
and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So how, okay, with having that type of mentality and ideology, how does that, how can that actually allow us as a whole to change? Are you saying that if enough of us take this on as our view and eyesight, we actually can change the culture on how they view us? Is that the ultimate goal?
Okay, no. The America is a European culture.
Mm-hmm.
To be a Pan-Africanism, you're not trying to change one thing about the American culture. Be clear on that. Nothing. You're not trying to get white folks to like you. None of that. You're not trying to change the culture. What Pan-Africanism makes you do is see that the history shows you that there is no system here for you. Where's yours? And two systems don't operate in the same place at the same time. History shows you that. He has let you know there ain't finna be no, you know, black, surgeons or, you understand what I'm saying? He's shown mm-hmm. you that whenever you've tried that, hey, look, this is our stuff. So what it makes you do is to point your energy towards building something for you and your offspring in the future. Has nothing to do with trying to change America at all.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, but hey, what did you think about the part? Man, I don't want to tell the movie. when they were sitting at the table, and my
uh-huh.
What's the white boy's name? My man,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. When he said, you know, his daddy had access to my daddy every morning, right? Remember that part?
Uh huh.
And he said he could have done justice every morning.
Every morning,
buddy. But he didn't.
But he did.
What is that? Hey,
he shaved him with a razor and everything.
Right. He said at any point he could have did his business right there and ended that. But
that's right. And then he went to the part where he started describing the
part of the skull.
The part of the skull. And if you use the crack open all the skulls, they would have the same indication in
that. But you know what, man, I'm going to tell you, I didn't like it. I'm going to tell you what. It was cool, I laughed too, but overall, man, I didn't like it. Now, when we went and saw it, it was mostly whites in there.
Yeah.
And to me, man, you know, it was almost like it was giving them a pass about they can now joke about
what
they did. Right.
Yeah.
And here's what my, see, and my father said, he said, if the scar of the whooping wasn't on my arm, then it's laughable. But the scar is still on my arm. So I have memory of that, so it ain't funny right now.
Yeah, it ain't, yeah. But you know,
it ain't funny.
In order to watch movies like that, I went there, when I went to the movies, I was like, me and my wife, we're going to the movies. I already put that in my mind. I didn't go there to leave mad or to add more fuel to my perception of things. So I actually, by me doing it that way, I was able to watch the movie in an atmosphere that I did. You know what I mean? Now,
yeah.
If Spike Lee would have done that movie, or someone did, it would have been...
The perception of it would have been different.
It would have been different. And
right.
Fights probably would have broke out if someone laughed at the wrong part that was, like, of a different color. You know what I'm saying? Like, at certain parts, but the way they did the movie and put in... Oh, you know what? Let me ask my two this. Do you think they should have done that movie, Jamie Foxx and Samuel Jackson?
Man, I believe in the free, you know what I'm saying? I believe, that man should be free. So from that perspective, I'm a little torn because, I think they should have the right to do it. But,
uh-huh.
Like, really, man, if I could see one of them, I can't say I wouldn't hit one of them niggas, man. I can't even say I wouldn't. I mean, my instincts wouldn't be to, say, you know what I'm saying? Good
yeah.
movie, man. I mean, my instinct might be to go right in their mouth. I mean, I'm just saying. That's my
I knew,
opinion.
You know what, it's kind of, if you watch it from watching a movie, you can say it's a good movie. But
right.
If you look at the movie and let your mind start going on journeys, you can leave there pissed off. Like, you can really, if you take it, like, it's up to you how far you want to journey in your thoughts when you go see it.
And you know what? That's why I asked you about your wife, because my wife's mom and my wife's best friend,
mm-hmm.
they saw it and they told her, hey, that's a good movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I think they saw
it
a little bit different. But you know what I told? I said, see, the thing about it is, if you have a worldview before you go into the movie, it ain't like you can put that worldview on hold and say, I'm on, you know what I'm saying? It's a part of you now. So I was telling my wife, I saw that movie as a Pan-Africanist. I couldn't see it as just, you know what I'm saying?
No, I got
because that's a part of me. So I couldn't see it through any other lens.
Women, they look at the love story.
That's
part,
what the love,
going to
the love scene
that,
and all that.
And they win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now I'm going to tell you one part my wife really loved was when Jamie Foxx got the turn to use the whip.
Right.
When he start doing some, when he picked up the whip and start whipping dude, he whipped dude crazy too, man.
He told it. Oh, your wife like that?
Yeah.
Hey, your wife might be a warrior, man. You better watch out, man.
No, she is. No, but she's one of them ones, like, Rose Red, them movies make her mad. Like, those type of movies like that, she really don't. Them movies get her mad. Like, Rosewood. Mandingo, just certain movies like that. Yo, T.A., man, take us out live on the air real quick, man. We got a couple seconds, man. T.A.? Oh, you ain't on the line no more? Just me and you, Matt. So, well, listen, everyone out there, man, we appreciate y'all for calling in. Tune in tomorrow night. We be back on the air. Strong, Dirty Church. We going hard this year, 2013, man. God bless you all. We love you. Stay strong. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, but the mantra tomorrow, though, man,
Yeah.
If you get a chance, right, when you call in, and this all going to be still right now, we still on the air right now, but I just wanted to say, like, tomorrow we're going to be talking, dealing in, like, relationships.
Okay.
And talking about different things like how many preachers or how many people waited to get married before sex. And can you be honest and be real and tell the truth? Regardless of what your title is and how people look or view you, do you really, or did you really, if your culture, you believe in your culture, and your culture says you pulled the weight, did you wait or did you test the waters?
All right, that's what's up. Hey, so did the, right quick, the books and stuff, man, did they get to the kids or who you plan to give them out to? Okay.
Yes.
That's what's up.
Yes. Yes. I still got, matter of fact, you gave me four or five of each one of them.
Yep.
Four or five of each one of them. So what I've done, what I'm doing with this way, how I'm doing it, is I'm giving it and I'm challenging them.
Okay.
I want to know that you read it. And I'm only giving it to ones that I know that's going to read it.
Okay,
I don't want it
stuff.
To actually sit
right
back and just, you know, I want you to actually read it. And then I'm going to have something where we can come all talk about it. You know what I mean?
That's what's up.
We can all, you know, talk about it in a little group session. You know what I mean? Read it, get the book like that. And then if you read it and you enjoyed it, and you enjoyed it, you talk about it, all right, then we can pass them books on to someone else so they can read it. You know what
all
I mean?
Right, that's what's up, bro. All right. If I get a chance, man, I'll check y'all out tomorrow. What time y'all going to be on tomorrow?
No, what's tomorrow, Friday?
Yeah.
About 8 o'clock. About 8.
About 8.
Y'all,
okay.
8 o'clock tomorrow, man. But yo,
right,
thanks
bro.
A lot, Matu, man.
Yes,
I really appreciate it,
right.
man. I appreciate you keeping your word, man. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. All right.